I might have considered it for a little longer, but I think we're in extraordinary times. We're in the Olympic year. We've got a very short period of run up into the Olympics. It seems to me, and it's a very sad decision for me, but in that run up to the Olympics, if there are going to be continuing speculation around the position of the commissioner, and stories continue to distract, then if I was going to do something, then I had to do it speedily. I guess, in the words of William Shakespeare, and I hope I quote him right, if it's best it to done, it's best it to done quickly. Because I had to take a decision on behalf of the organisation to allow the relevant authorities, if they were going to put someone else in place, in time, to have a firm hold on the helm and lead the Met through its biggest challenges, then I had to do it quickly. It's regrettable, but I think I had to do that in the Olympic year.
We will come on in this session to explore the issue of your relationship with Mr. Wallace and why you employed him. And we have other witnesses coming in later. And we will then look into the previous investigations and your role in that. But if we could just concentrate further on the resignation. When I spoke to you at about 6 o'clock on Thursday, resignation did not seem in your mind. You'd met the mayor, you'd spoken, I assume, to the Home Secretary. And is it that they did not give you the support to stay on following that conversation with them? Because you didn't sound as if you were in a resignation mood when you spoke to me. When did you make up your mind that you had to go?
Well, I didn't much speculation around whether I supported or not. I have to say that I've received the full support of the Home Secretary, the Mayor, Kit Malthouse, and as far as I'm aware, the Prime Minister, and I've seen the comments they've made since my resignation. I guess I became much clearer when I was contacted on Saturday about the Champney story, for which I am not apologetic, by the way, at all. But when I became aware that Mr. Wallace, and I have to, and I know you will understand this, Chair, remind everyone that Mr. Wallace, whilst he's been arrested and bailed, well, I should say nothing that prejudices his rights. But when I became aware that Mr. Wallace was in some way connected with Champneys, I thought that was a very difficult story. I think it was very unfortunate for me. I had no knowledge previously. And I think that, together with everything else, I thought this is going to be a significant story. It's going to continue. And if I'm going to be a leader and do the right thing by my organisation, I think I've got to do something that's very painful.
But as far as you're concerned, nobody asked you to go. You made this decision yourself. Neither the Mayor nor the Home Secretary nor the Prime Minister felt that your position was untenable. You've told this committee just now that they gave you support for the work that you were doing. Is that right?
That's absolutely right, Chair. And in reality, when I did speak to the Home Secretary and the Mayor thought it was... He accepted it very reluctantly. He thought it was wrong. He said that to me again the following day. And indeed, the Home Secretary was clearly very shocked. She was very saddened. And she's also stated that she regretted my decision. It was my decision and my decision only, Chair. No one else's. If I may say so, and it was against the advice of many, many colleagues. Mm. And indeed, my wife.
Did any of them say, please don't go, please stay? You've got more work to do.
That was the implication. That's the implication I took from the response of the Mayor. He was... I would describe him without being sort of overly emotional, but he almost emotional. He was very cross. He didn't want it to happen. He made it very clear he thought it was wrong.
We're going to...